At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Top of the hour here on Fantasy Sports Today, Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz on this edition of the show. George has been filling in for Davis Maddock this week. Davis taking a few off. He'll be back tomorrow here on the show. Thanks again to Chris for running the updates. And let's get to our headlines here as we start off the second hour of the show, 1 o'clock here on the East on Sports Grid. Full day of baseball, and boy, do I mean full. 6 games between now and 3 o'clock Eastern, so I know what my TV and my radio will be on over the next couple of hours, aside from Sports Grid, of course. I'll be watching both and listening to both. Battle for LA tonight in the NBA. 7 games on the NBA slate. If you missed Brett Levy, our producer, he mentioned that he likes the Lakers tonight +8, and he has got to get a win today, or we'll never let him pick ever again. No, I'm just kidding. Packers looking to add quarterbacks for OTAs. Why? Well, Jordan Love is the only one on the roster. They're going to need another one. Of course, the drama with Aaron Rodgers continues. We'll see how this works out. I would guess in the next month, maybe we'll have a decision there. And also interesting, Georgia, golf is forming their own Super League. Phil Mickelson doesn't like it. I'm sure all the other pros don't like it. They just want to play on the PGA Tour. Why can't we just have our leagues and our games? Everybody seems like they want to do something else. Money's always going to rule that, no doubt.
Well, you're absolutely right. Money talks. All right, they'll form anything you want. They're gonna have, anybody's gonna get paid for it. I don't follow golf on TV all that much. To me, it is kind of a little boring there, but I do enjoy playing. Well, enjoy is a tough word. All right, I play golf. I don't know if anybody can truly enjoy
a lot,
golf.
George, this is true.
There are a lot of choice words that come out of my mouth playing golf. I've lost a club in a tree. All right, and it may have gotten there on purpose. I thought it would come down, mind you, but you know. 5 wood goes away when you don't hit when you hit a bad shot. It's always somebody else's fault. I've never broken a club on purpose. How about that?
Good. I have been playing along with my son, who's been taking lessons for the past years. But really, the only outside outing we had for about 3 or 4 months was going to play golf. And we recently, over the last week or so, joined in our local Little League team. We had not been playing. My son had not been playing the entire year, just been sitting it out. So that is kind of absorbing my weekends right now. We supposedly have a game tonight here in South Florida, but I'm not sure if the weather is going to hold up. And then Saturday, which is our normal golf day, we had baseball last week, George. So I don't know. We're going to have to see. But I got to tell you, if you miss, how did you not watch any of the Masters? Masters was really compelling this year. One of the better Masters, even without Tiger Woods or any of the big names in there. I thought that Sunday was a lot of fun to watch. You got to get into it.
You know, I've been to a couple of the U.S. Opens that have been here on Long Island. I have gone to them. They've been at Bethpage, and I've gone. It seems like every time I go, by the way, it's always the day after it monsooned here. So it's muddy, and it's a muddy mess. And your shoes are going to pay for it there. I just don't know. It is a little slow for me on TV, and I'll certainly choose a baseball game over it. You mentioned what you're watching today. I got 3 games on right now. Yanks are on. Mets are on. I think I put the Phillies Brewers game on the other TV there. And I enjoy watching baseball immensely. And I'm a hockey guy. You know that. But I mm-hmm. at night, I got to tell you, I almost always watch baseball over hockey. You know, like I said, I have all the games on. I have any package I want to choose from, but I'm always choosing baseball. I just enjoy a baseball game. I do. It's slow. It's relaxing. I enjoy how the game is played. It's why it's so disappointing that the game has changed so much, and I think they need to make fixes here. Baseball has always been first love in my heart for probably because it's the only thing my father and I ever agreed upon. We're the love of the Yankees, our love of baseball. So baseball always has that for me. I love football as well. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing like Sunday of football. The best thing about this job is that if my wife goes, hey, you know, we got to go to my sister's this week, this Sunday for whatever. Honey, I can't. I have to work. Sorry.
I've been using that excuse for a long time, George. It works out like a charm. I try to use it Saturday, too, because of college football. Sometimes, and I love college football. Sometimes I enjoy Saturdays more than I do Sundays. This past year, not as much, but usually, yes, with all of the games that are on. Before we go into prospects, real quick opinion for you. In the first month plus of the season, you mentioned three no-hitters. Some feel there's 2.5, depending on how you feel about Bumgarner, who's going to pitch tonight. Because of all the swings and misses, George, John Means throwing a no-hitter. That's not somebody you would expect. Do you think that we'll break the record for no-hitters in a season?
What is the record offhand?
I think it's 12.
I mean, I'll take the under. But there's been listen, Bumgarner's a no-hitter, by the way. I'm sorry. You made it 7 innings. Baseball. I hate it. It's a dumb rule. I can go off on this for 3 segments here. Dumb rule, but you made it. It's a no-hitter. All right? So I think Bumgarner should be credited with a no-hitter. You give him credit for a complete game. So how is it not a no-hitter? Doesn't make any sense to me. But I'll take the under here. But we've had what? Rodon, Musgrove, Means. So we've had 3. That does equate to what, the 18? Well, I don't think we'll get the 12. I think hitters will start to catch up here a little bit. I think pitching generally a little overhitting in April as it is, but we're not done at 3. We're not done at 3. I think we'll get to 7. I would put the over-under at probably 6.5.
Well, with the 7 innings, it does make it a little bit easier. The all-time record is 12. This is pre-war, but post-war, the number is 9. So that would be the most recent number is 9 all-time. Yeah, I know. It seems like a lot. All right, we're going to talk some prospects coming up next. For those of you who follow us, you know that for 2 years, we have had no minor league games and no minor league statistics to break down. Well, lucky for us, MILB was back this week, and there are 3 names that are off to really good starts in fantasy. We're going to hit on those next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Also, Gray Albright from Razzball joins us soon. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with George Kurtz talking fantasy baseball a lot with you here today on the show. Davis will be back tomorrow. We'll kick around some golf, some NBA as well. And coming up, Gray Albright from Razzball, who joins us every week on Friday, is going to join us today. I have a lot of commitments going on today. So couldn't get with Gray tomorrow, but he's coming on today instead. So stay tuned for that. So George, we did not have minor league baseball, and it was virtually impossible to know who was coming up or down last year because they were all working out on an alternate site. And the term alternate site is done. Like, it's over. Like, it's gone. Now, the alternate site is AAA now for these teams. So there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention for those of you who listen to us and kind of understand fantasy. There is a dynamic that is still in play this year that is not normally in play, which is the AAA ball clubs are all, George, keeping the same protocols as the major league club. So those players, simply put, are the easiest ones to get to the big leagues. But any player that is in AA, and single A is rare, but it does happen, but AA to the big leagues is a quarantine period and an intake period before that they could come. So a lot of players this year are going to be mostly coming for AAA. Occasionally you'll see the AA player, but in general, I'm going to guess 90% of the big leaguers are going to have to go, or the minor leaguers are going to have to go AA to AAA to the big leagues, which is, George, the way it used to be when we were growing up, but that has changed significantly through the years. We've seen a lot of kids jump from double A to the big leagues.
You're 100% correct. You know, it was always triple A growing up. Then for whatever reason, it changed to double A, where that's where your prospects generally were playing here. And it makes sense what MLB is or what the teams are doing this year, because you don't want these guys coming up and all of a sudden infecting anybody in your clubhouse and you get a breakout there. So it does make sense. I think 90% is probably being – I think you're underreporting. I think it's probably about 95, 96. I think if they had any ideas of calling somebody up, they would probably promote it from double A to triple A first and then have them go through the quarantine there before they get called up. And listen, there can always be a problem. Well, we lost three catchers in a week, and, you know, we got to get somebody from double A, and you got to do what you got to do. But, yeah. And I like minor league baseball. I do. You know, I am one of those guys who believes I never understand, Craig, when these teams – keep these guys down because they want to get the extra year. You don't even know if you're going to have this guy 7 years from now. We got to worry about this. All right. And when these teams do this, I always root, please miss the playoffs by a game. Please miss the playoffs by a game. All right. I think it's just cosmic justice when that happens.
All right. So let's take a look at some of the performers that potentially could get called up either this year or maybe next. Two from AAA, one from AA. Let's start off, George, with the one that I think that most people who were playing season-long fantasy, they own Wander Franco. Like I think he's owned in virtually every league. So it would require a 10-teamer maybe or a 12-teamer. But he did hit a home run yesterday for AAA for the Rays. Overall, again, only two games played, but 5-for-9, 4 runs driven in. And by most expectations, George, everyone thinks he's coming up in 2021. Somebody asked me the other day, well, what would that require for him to not come up in 2021? I see no scenario. I see a September guaranteed. But, George, if the Rays were to have some catastrophic disaster between now and, let's say, July, they could literally wait to call him up next year. But I think that we probably are on the same opinion that the Rays are going to be in it. I don't know how good they'll be, but they'll be in it. And I think very soon, and by very soon, within a month or two, provided the Rays are a 500 club or better, Wander Franco is coming up. Don't know how good he's going to be, but I think that you definitely should be rostering him because I would say between 30 to 60 days away, he's coming to the big leagues.
Once again, I'm lock, step, and barrel with you. I agree, lock, stock, and barrel that he's coming up. Just a matter of when. I think it'll be before September. I do. I do have him in a league. A deeper league where I'm stashing him on my bench. It's only a 5-person bench too. So if I thought it was September, I wouldn't have him. You know, I think it is going to be sooner rather than later. I think he's going to force their hand. And it's a small sample size now, but he's crushing the ball in the first two games. Crushing the ball for them. He's not going to play short. I don't think they'll move Willie Adames off shortstop. I think he'll probably play third base. Joey Wendell go back to more of a super utility role here. I think he could be an injury away. You know, maybe he just has to prove himself a little bit in AAA. They just want to make sure he's going to go all right in AAA, but they're going to move him up. Because this team, this is not the Rays of the way we always look at the Rays the past couple of years. They don't have the pitching outside of Glasnow to really dominate the American League East. You know, Yarbrough, Fleming, McClanahan, who I like a lot. He's another prospect. Rich Hill, Waka, Archer, Chirinos, when he comes back. I mean, none of these guys are all that flashy there. So I think they're going to have to win on offense. I think he's coming up soon. And yes, if he's available in your league and you got a dead spot on your roster, I would claim him now.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, too. I would wonder if they would put him at third base. I mean, look, he's going to have a better skill set than Adames, and I think long-term, and even in 2022, my guess is he is the shortstop on the Rays. But maybe for the rest of this year, and that would give you some extra qualification for the following year, by the way, if he does end up playing third. So we'll see. And they could also DH him. Look, there's a lot of options. The Rays do a great job of moving everybody around, and I think they'll do the same thing with Franco, but definitely the A number one player to keep an eye on for sure. All right, now to a lesser degree, we saw the debut of the number one overall pick in the draft from a few years ago, George Hunter Green of the Cincinnati Reds, rejects to be a number one or number two starter. Been a little bit checkered, let's be honest, a lot of injuries, some ineffectiveness since he was the number one overall pick, but he made his debut yesterday for double A, 71 pitches, 51 strikes, but George, what has everybody's attention, he had 102 on the radar gun and threw more minor league pitch over 100 miles an hour than anyone ever has in history, literally. Now, 2022 is the ETA on him, George. I think that in order for him to get called up this year, again, pitching issues would have to be catastrophic, I think, or maybe the Reds are competitive. Do you see a scenario that he would come up before September? I know they only expand the rosters to 28. They could honestly keep him down the whole year and nobody would bat an eye because he just simply put hasn't thrown a lot of minor league innings. But do you see any chance for him coming up this year?
Well, I think you nailed it. I think the only reason he comes up this year is if they're in it and they want the extra pitcher. You know, and even then, with pitching is different from hitting because there was no minor league season next year. It wasn't much of a major league season. You know there's going to be innings limits all over the place. And that's another reason why they may not call. It may not matter if they're in it or if they need pitching. It may not matter. He may be at his innings limit by that point. You know, it's going to be very tricky to see how these teams do this. We all know they're all babied, right? You don't want to go, what's a 40 innings. Generally, that's the rule for a lot. Not every team follows it, but a lot of teams follow it. 40 innings from one year to the next. Well, they didn't pitch at all last year. You know, what does that mean? You know, so it's going to be very strange this season. So, no, I don't know. There are very few pitchers that might be available in your fantasy league that I'd be looking to go out and grab. Listen, Hunter Green's an exciting prospect. You mentioned he's been clocked. I think in spring training against the Angels, he was clocked at 101, 102, and 103. That's just nuts. So he's going to be fun to watch here. But fantasy-wise, if you got a keeper league or a dynasty league and you can claim him, that's a little different. But in a straight league, no, thank you.
All right, and then we'll cap it off with a player on the Miami Marlins who has had the hottest start of anyone in minor league baseball. Jesus Sanchez, outfielder, went 5-for-5 yesterday with a home run, almost hit for the cycle, and he's driven in 9 runs in his first 2 games. And his ETA certainly is this year, but George, we saw him play a little bit last year and didn't hit at all. He's had a lot of injuries over the last couple of years, and you know, certainly I know Miami's situation probably more than most, and I would guess that they would want him playing left field more than Corey Dickerson, and they'd want him playing more than Adam Duvall, even in right field. But with all of these injuries, George, that he's had, I kind of have a feeling that this may be a late season deal, and they just want him to get those at-bats. How about you?
Yeah, I'd like to fight with you and argue with you, but I agree with your opinion. I think you're right. I think you're 100% right on board here, where it's just I think they know they're probably not competing for anything this year anyway, so it's just about building for the future here, doing what's right for the player here, and I think that's what they're going to do with Sanchez here. I love the Marlins' future, by the way. Said it yesterday on the show here. I've told my Met fans, you're not going to be happy with this team. You're not going to be happy with the Marlins because their pitching is going to be great, and if they can get hitting, if that young hitting or they get free, if that matures too, look out for the Marlins in a couple of years.
Yep, definitely need the hitting. The pitching is there, no question. Okay, stolen bases this season have not been a huge surprise. Saves have been, as usual. Gray Albright from Razzball joins us next to break down the leaders in saves and steals and maybe some potential guys that you could find. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Each week on Friday, we check in with Gray Albright from Razzball.com. But we thought we'd do things a little differently this week. Check in a day early with Gray. Of course, you could follow him on Twitter at Razzball. Loves talking baseball during the baseball season. He's a really good follow. Of course, the website Razzball.com. Helping out with streaming options every week with pitching. And we're going to touch on some different things this week that we haven't hit on thus far. But Gray, it is great to see you as we terminate on the month of May in baseball. We made it through a month. This time the season doesn't end in 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, I know. It's fun. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying the season last year would be around halfway over at this point. I was like, yeah, that's one way to put it. It's kind of crazy when you think about it like that.
Well, good thing for me, we still have some more time. Doing okay this year, but I'd like to be doing a little bit better. You know, the one category that seems, you know, saves are probably the most unpredictable category, I think, in fantasy. But the other one has been stolen bases. And I did want to just run over some of the names that have been stealing some bases this year and just kind of touch on you with them. And we'll show people out there kind of the numbers here. But Whit Merrifield of the Royals has 10. Ramon Laureano has 8. Jazz Chisholm, who's on the injured list, has 7. Hampson has 7. Trey Turner has 7. And then I'm going to stop here because like 10 other players have 6 stolen bases. So, I mean, look, I think we knew Merrifield was going to have a lot at the beginning of the season. His pace is really strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Ohtani having 6 stolen bases. I think that's kind of out of the norm. Kiner Falefa has been really good, too. He has 6 steals, and you didn't see his name there. But I'm wondering, from your perspective, what you think about this season, the pace that we're on, any players you like, any players you think haven't stolen that can, any ones that are stealing a lot that probably won't as we move forward.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be with steals for the most part. You know, we have a saying at Razzball called Sagnoff, which is saves and steals have no face, which is essentially means like when you're getting the category, you're just trying to fill a category versus trying to get a name. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, you know, the steals guys are similar to the relievers in that if they're getting steals, doesn't really matter what else they're doing. You know, like I enjoy a Miles Straw if I'm looking for steals, or Andrés Giménez, or, you know, Dylan Moore, who I actually liked a lot coming into this year. But, you know, so far he hasn't been great outside of steals. So when you're looking for steals, you got to look just for steals, really, for a lot of these guys. Like anyone else, a 5-category guy who's getting power and speed, they're going to be really costly for, you know, any sort of trades. It's just not going to happen. Like, you're not going to be able to get, say, Trey Turner for cheap steals, you know? Like, if you want steals, you got to go. If you want steals off of waivers, you just got to, like, you know, suck it up, buttercup, and just grab some steals from guys who you may not necessarily want to have on your team otherwise.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the case. Let's talk about guys who have stolen but not caught. And let's focus on Andrew Benintendi here for a minute. What a strange 27, 28 games he has had. Started off looking like he could have been a huge bust for the Royals. All of a sudden, he's getting on base. He's up to 3 home runs. But I think the shock is that not that he has 5 steals, Gray, but he's attempted 9, which is, I think, 2nd or 3rd in the major leagues. That's not something I even knew he had in his game. I thought he was most a 10-15 steal guy.
Yeah, no, I think the Royals in general have a strategy where they like to run. I mean, they're a team that doesn't mind, you know, like you said earlier with Merrifield, they're a team that doesn't mind running. And, you know, even guys like Hunter Dozier will probably chip in some more steals than actually they're, you know, they would normally on a different team. But Benintendi he's in the middle of a hot streak. So I don't want to, you know, because like right now there's such a small sample size with games. Right. If you look at like, you know, Benintendi's last 7 days, he's got a close to .500 average in the last 7 days. Like he's having a great week. So it's hard to say if that's going to continue because, you know, the power, like you said, the power is not really there. He's running a lot, which feels like a team thing, which is fine. I mean, that's great for fantasy, and I'm all for Benintendi running. I mean, if nothing else, even if he cools off, if he's still running, he could provide value where coming into the season, I didn't necessarily expect him to provide anything, really.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. Another player I want to talk about here because the power has slipped down, but he's stealing bases and 24 runs driven in at this point for Nate Lowe of the Texas Rangers. I know we focused in on him a lot the first 2 weeks, and he was hitting all these home runs. I think 4 home runs in the first 3 weeks. That stopped. But Gray, 6 home runs for Lowe and 4 stolen bases with 24 runs driven in. Offensively, I would say that he's been arguably one of the top sleepers or like unknown players of the year. I did not hear a lot about Nate Lowe going into the season.
No, and also, like, you know, from a real baseball perspective, it's interesting that Nate Lowe might be like the first time ever that the Rays have lost a trade.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I think Nate Lowe is the guy. I think Nate Lowe and the Rangers in general, there's a few guys there like Adolis Garcia and Solak. I like them also. You know, the Rangers are in a position where they're not really playing for anything, so they can play a guy like Nate Lowe for 150 games if he's healthy and just let him go. You know, like as of this point, he's got a ton of plate appearances. He's got 130-plus plate appearances already. He can, you know, he can play every day and potentially have speed and power. It's not a bad recipe for success with fantasy.
Yeah, it may not be a bad grab even at this point. Ronald Guzman not going to play the rest of this season, so I think there's a chance there. Well, Ray mentioned the faceless guys. Let's take a look at this stunner of saves. I mean, this is disgusting. Let's look at the top four saves leaders in 2021. Mark Melancon, 10 saves, 10 for 10. Alex Reyes, 9 for 9. Ian Kennedy of the Texas Rangers, 8 for 8. Matt Barnes of the Boston Red Sox, 7 for 7. Now, I understand.
Say it every year, man. Every year I say the same thing. Don't pay for saves. Like, it's something that's gotten to the point where people, you know, in the preseason, they were like, you know, this year you really got to pay for saves because, you know, the bullpens are in such disarray. And I'm like, no, it's not. You never have to pay for saves. It's always just such a fickle category that, like, if you don't pay for saves, you could have had, you could easily be leading your league in saves without a question. I mean, like, Josh Hader is doing well.
Sure.
And Liam Hendricks is doing fine. I mean, not great, but he's doing fine. Like, he's at least got the job still. But for the most part, it's like Rocio Iglesias, who I think was like a consensus third closer off the board, he doesn't even look great. Alex Colomé looks terrible and has been replaced by Taylor Rogers. All these guys, it's just like up and down. Like, you go up and down the closers, and the top ones are never guys coming into the year that are supposedly going to be the top guys. Never. Yeah.
No, and people will pay that price every year. You mentioned Hader. Someone at the end of the year is going to look back, and they're going to say, great, what are you talking about? I spent up for Josh Hader, and it worked out. But, yeah, what about the guy who went for the second guy and the third guy and the fourth guy and the fifth guy? I mean, it's like that every year. You know, the one name here that is the shocker of all, Gray, not now that I've seen him pitch, I get it, but Baltimore, this pitcher, Cesar Valdez, who is unhittable with one changeup and nothing else. I'm wondering, where is the starting pitcher, Gray, that does this? Isn't there a starter somewhere that can just do what this guy does, 2-0 with a .130 ERA and saving all these games? Why does the starting pitcher look at this guy and say, hey, if this guy can do it, maybe I can? It's like a knuckleball almost.
I know. Yeah, no, it's true. I think I was pretty suspicious of a guy who is only going to go up there and throw an 86 mile per hour pitch as his out pitch. But you know what? As I was saying a lot last year, I haven't said it that much this year, but I still think it's true. Hitters are on 98 plus mile per hour fastballs. Hitters can hit those. It's when they don't see many 85 mile per hour guys. So when an 85 mile per hour guy, you know, comes out, like you see it with like Greinke, a guy comes out and just throws junk, and hitters are like, I don't know what to do with an 85 mile per hour pitch.
Yeah, no, they don't know what to do with this guy. That's for sure. I mean, he has been not the surprise of the year, the shock of the year in terms of closers. Because look, I mean, Alex Reyes had some pedigree, you know, right. Like people thought there was, there's a chance that, like, at the end. By the way, if Reyes saves no games the rest of the season, you got what you paid for already. You did very well. But you could have seen that in the second half, you know? Like, I mean, Emmanuel Clase has been the best closer, period, probably, with a 0 ERA. But there were some who thought Clase, you never know, he'd work himself in there. This guy, Valdez, great. Not talked about at all. 0, zip, nothing. And for those people who think you draft closers for ratios, well, you win that battle, too, because the guy has just been unhittable all season long, that's for sure. All right. Well, Gray, listen, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it. I know that a lot's going on over at Razzball. Tell people about the razzball.com website and some of the different options people can get in on.
Yeah, well, you can get a 3-day free trial to see what our streaming pitchers tool will tell you. Because, like, you know, I mean, we have a tool that tells us how good our actual streaming tool is. Like, that's, you know, how complex it is. So I would say do a 3-day trial, see what happens.
All right. Well, I highly recommend it. Gray and I are battling it out in the National League, but not battling it out of the top yet, just yet. We're still fighting here. So long way to go in the fantasy season for sure. Gray Albright, follow him on Twitter, of course, at Razzball. We have plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today, including some fantasy or reality. And also, of course, the Sports Grid 60. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid here on this Thursday as we close in on the weekend of making some tough decisions in betting and fantasy too. We'll help you with those coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mitch, George Kurtz in for Davis Maddock. Davis will be back in the house tomorrow here on the show. We'll also have Jim Sannis from Number Fire breaking down the big race this weekend over in NASCAR. Just a couple of quick updates here on the diamond today. Carlos Carrasco, the New York Mets, with some sort of delay to make his 2021 debut. Doesn't look like it's going to happen this month, so maybe he makes a debut in June. That's according to Newsday. Also, Texas Rangers up 2-1 on the Minnesota Twins as Joey Gallo has hit his fourth home run. Boston Red Sox have a 1-0 lead on an RBI single from J.D. Martinez. And George, the Yankees and Astros, nothing happening yet as far as what I see.
Yeah, the Yankees had a threat in the first inning. Bases loaded, two outs there. Ford crushed one, but right out Gurriel, so that ended the threat there. Aaron Hicks with a leadoff single here in the bottom of the second, but no score.
All right, so no score there. Scott Farrell coming up 4 o'clock Eastern, keeping you updated on all of the scores in game live, game time decisions coming up a little bit later. Well, if anybody could speak to the plight of the New York Mets, it's our producer, Brett Levy, who answers the question, what happened to Carlos Carrasco, when George asked it during the break, and Brett said he got traded to the Mets. That was Brett's answer there. So along those lines, let's turn it over to Brett. He's got some very compelling questions for today's edition of Fantasy and Reality. Brett, what do you got?
All right. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's tough being a Met fan, Craig. And speaking of tough being a Met fan, Jacob deGrom was scratched from his last start on Tuesday. They ended up not playing on Tuesday, Craig. It ended up being a doubleheader on Wednesday. But now there's talk that he could be back on Sunday. Fantasy or reality, Craig, it would be a mistake to start DeGrom on Sunday.
Boy, this is tough because you want to give the benefit of the doubt to the medical people who are running this and not just make blanket assumptions. But DeGrom spoke to the media yesterday and said that he was ready to go. I think I've heard this before with another guy on the Mets named Noah Syndergaard at least once or twice. I'm going to say fantasy, it's not a mistake because I think – just for once, I would like to believe that the staff knows what they're doing here, that DeGrom knows what he is doing here. And the last thing that you would want is in the second inning to have the trainer come out there and take him out. I'm going to be on the half full side. I know George is going to take the other. So I'm going to play the half full. I'm going to say fantasy. Okay to start DeGrom on Sunday. If they think he's all right, that's good enough for me. That's a dangerous road to go on, but that's what I'm going with, George. What do you got?
Yeah, you know me too well. I am taking the other side here. I still don't understand this. When it comes to a pitcher, and today, once again, today's game, it's a 10-day IL. If you say you're anything's bothering you, anything, you're on your DL. If you're going to miss a start, you're on the DL. There's no reason not to. Now, in this case, it probably doesn't matter much. Let's say he starts Sunday, what is that, May 9th, which is my brother's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Rat. So that'd be 11 days anyway if they put him on the IL. But I think you might want to be very careful with a lat injury or an oblique injury, anything like that, because you really can't test that out until you throw with, you know, with purpose. Yeah, you're not going to see it in a side session. It's not the same adrenaline going there. It's just not. So you want to be careful here. So I think it's – I do want – I don't care what the player says, by the way. That DeGrom says, I don't care. You know, because they all, you mentioned Noah Syndergaard, I'm fine. They all say they're fine. All right. It's weird when they don't say they're fine. When they don't say they're fine, either they have a mental problem or the injury is terrible. And they probably need to be put in the hospital. You know, so I'm going to say this is reality. I think it's a mistake, but I hope it's not. I truly hope it's not. I'm not a Met fan, but I love Jacob DeGrom. I want to see him pitch. He's must-watch TV every time he's out there. It's amazing he doesn't have one of these no-hitters this year.
George, how old is your brother?
Oh, God. He's not turning 50 this year. I'm 51, so he's 49. There you go.
Okay. Well, happy birthday in advance. And his name? What's his name?
Dennis. Dennis. He's Dennis Kurtz. We call him Rat. He's had that nickname forever, and it's not why you think. It's not because he told on me when we were younger. Back then, he was a little pain. And my brother's like 106 pounds, and he can run like the wind. You can't catch him. And we caught him one day. You know, he was teasing us, and we threw him in a green pool that was gross before it was open. And back then, you know, the 80s, we had longer hair, and he came out looking like a drowned rat. Someone said, hey, look, a rat. So it stuck, and he loves it. It's his email. Strange kid, what can I tell you?
Great story there, George. I thought you were just going to say because he liked cheese a lot, but I'm glad it didn't turn out to be that. All right, let's go back to Brett here. Sorry about that diversion, Brett.
No worries at all. It was a great story. Last night, guys, the Rangers and the Capitals played. They had previously just met, and there was a dirty hit between the Rangers and the Capitals. The Rangers issued a statement about the, leader of the NHL and all this, and it was just an ugly scene. But basically, the Rangers took business into their own hands, Craig and George, and they sent the Caps, and, you know, they took them on head first. There's a lot of fighting last night. I saw a lot of it on Twitter. The Capitals had six guys in the penalty box. It became a meme. So fantasy or reality, George, fighting is good for hockey.
This is reality. This is reality. And I'll tell you why. It's not because, hey, I want to see two guys beat the crap out of each other. I do. But that's not the reason why. Because once fighting was taken out of hockey, you have all these good little guys. Brad Marchand is the perfect example, who now use their stick like a weapon. And why? Because there's no repercussions. They're not worried about someone going to go over there and try and knock their head off. You know, that's why. So I had never had any problem in hockey. Two willing adults who want to go, it's a fair fight, dropping the gloves, they're skating around, they're ready to go, fine, go. You know, I don't want to see anybody, do any sucker punches, anything like that. I don't want to see a big guy take on a small guy. That's not right. But other than that, I think fighting has been good for the game, or was good for the game. They have legislated a lot of it out now where you're not going to see all that much. But, yeah, I think fighting is good for it. Come on. How many non-hockey fans will watch that game last night in the first period like, oh, this is fantastic. You had a line brawl, three fights going on at once. It was entertainment. It was entertainment here. So, yes, I think fighting is good for the game. It keeps players in check. Think of baseball. Wouldn't it be better in baseball if when these hitters and the pitcher want to go at each other, let's start clearing the benches. Let them go. Let them go. Let the pitcher and hitter go at each other. You know what? You probably won't have as many pitchers throwing the ball at hitters if the dugouts can clear, if the bullpens can't clear, if no one can leave their position. They want to go, let them go, and let the 80-year-old umpires break them up.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way here, George, probably not unsurprisingly. I think that the point that you make is definitely well taken, because also the proximity of hockey players that are next to each other with the stick is a lot different than when a baseball player has a bat, literally having to carry it out to attempt to swing it at the pitcher. We know that that's not going to happen. But I would say that I understand why they're limiting it, because, I mean, look, they're, in the end, these players were kids once, and a lot of kids are going to end up watching the game. So to me, it's a negative to see fighting. I mean, you don't want that for kids. But the other thing that would play in your factor is, look, at this stage, with hockey a few years ago missing a full season, and honestly with hockey's popularity essentially being fourth among the major sports, and some people feel soccer maybe is even moving ahead of that, anything that would bring more people into the game without any drastic changes is fine. But I would tell you, George, the second that there's a fight and one of these players, something very serious happens, that's going to be the end of fighting completely in hockey. So I'm kind of like on the fence a little bit with it, I guess, because I understand some of it is exciting and it's good for the game and taking the gloves off. People want to see that. And after all, in boxing, it is fighting with gloves on, kind of the same. But I'll say fantasy. I don't want my son watching fights and thinking that it's okay to do it. So I'm going to say fantasy in that case. All right, Brett, let's close out Thursday here with George, his last fantasy reality for the week.
All right, George, your last one of the week. The Lions waived former second-round pick Kerryon Johnson yesterday. You know, he had a pretty good rookie year 2 years ago, 854 yards from scrimmage, 4 touchdowns. He's been hurt since. He hasn't been able to put it together. They drafted DeAndre Swift, so they let him go. Our question today, George, fantasy or reality, Kerryon Johnson will be relevant, fantasy relevant, in 2021.
Ooh. I mean, Chris Berman loses a great nickname here, right? Kerryon, my wayward son. He's going to carry on someplace else. He'll get a job. Fantasy relevant? I guess that this depends on how you define the term. Will I think he be picked up on a fantasy team at some point? Sure. He may be started during a bye week when you're desperate or if there's 18,000 other injuries. But I'm going to go fantasy here. I can't see where you're like, oh, my God, I can't wait to grab Kerryon Johnson. No, I think he did get a raw deal here. The injuries were part of the problem here, but I don't think drafting another running back was really where Detroit needed to go. And maybe that's part of the reason why the prior regime is no longer there. And they keep making changes, and they probably will again in 2 more years. I don't see this team getting much better here, but I'm going to go no fantasy. He's not going to be fantasy relevant this year. And if he is, it's unlikely to be for any of my teams.
Yeah, I mean, George, you've been following this a long time. You know that this is a reality. Come on. I mean, at some point, someone is going to be starting Kerryon Johnson in a fantasy league, and that's what makes him relevant. Look, Houston still has no running back. Miami essentially still has no running back. And if you would have told me 2 years ago, George, that we would have done this with Carlos Hyde, you probably would have said irrelevant too. These guys go down so quickly. And there still are spots where situations are a little bit murky. I mentioned 2 places. I'm sure I'm forgetting, and I'm sure that there are more. So at some point, 2021, Kerryon Johnson, George, he's going to end up starting not only for other people's fantasy team, but your team too. He's going to be playing. He's going to be starting on your team. Mark it down. Book it right now.
I don't know. I draft a lot of running backs. You know, I'm a running back guy. I draft running backs early and often in fantasy. Prove that on Sunday in our draft. I mean, like I say, it depends on how you define relevant. Well, like I say, he will start. I have no doubt he's going to get on.
That's
a team.
Relevant.
You're right. I don't know. That's, relevant to me means he's going to really – he could win your league or something like that. He could win you a week. I definitely see he could win you a week. But I'll say this. If you're starting Kerryon Johnson during your fantasy playoffs, I don't know how you got there. God bless you for getting there. You must be very strong in other areas. But you're right. He could end up with the right team, and he could end up with the starting jump. Running backs do get hurt. Yeah, it's a bunch of car wrecks they're getting into every game.
Yeah, and look, and you know that it could happen in the preseason too. Somebody could sign him. He could be a part of it. I look, when it comes to that position, and by the way, I don't think he's not an older guy anyway. I still think that he can play. So I think it's a fair question. And for me, relevance means – are we talking about him? Are we playing him in any league next year? I think the answer will be yes. Will he win a league? No, I would agree with you there. But I don't think that his name is going to be completely forgotten in 2021. So fair question, I think, for Brett. Fair analysis from you, George, no doubt, and probably not for me, but that's okay. That's why we do this show. All right, coming up next, it's time for us, folks, to take care of the Sports Grid at 60. So we will do that next. And then on tomorrow's show, we'll be right back here as Jim Sannis is going to join us and we preview the week in NASCAR. Also, Davis Maddock will be back. We'll dive a little bit more into baseball. We'll take a look at the NBA slate for the weekend. But as a reminder, you can follow us on social media on our Twitter channel, which is at SportsGrid, also on SportsGrid Radio. And I would also invite all of you to check out our coverage of the NFL Draft. You can see it right now. It's posted on our YouTube channel. All of the picks, some of them right, some of them wrong. That's kind of the fun part of it. All of our coverage is over there. And in addition, if you're watching us on our website, sportsgrid.com/watch, very cool. If not, you're watching on some other format. Our YouTube channel is great to subscribe to because you get to watch all of our shows. They're uploaded immediately after they're done every single day. Sports Grid 60 is next as we close out this Thursday. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, some breaking news here at the end of the show. MLB.com reporting that future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols will be released by the Angels today, arguably the best player in baseball over the last two decades. No longer a member of the Angels. The only question is, George, is this the end of the line for him as well? To be determined. We'll talk about it tomorrow. George, let's close out your week with us here with the Sports Grid 60. Go ahead.
All right. Now, you mentioned Albert Pujols. I think his wife mentioned he was going to retire at the end of the year anyway, so I think he is done. I'm going to call it a gripe here. Now, Craig, you and I have been playing fantasy forever. I know my first fantasy baseball league was in 1987. That's when I started here. And back then, some of the greatest things about playing fantasy baseball were trading. Trading with your friends, your relatives, the other teammates. It was great. It was a lot of fun. No one trades anymore. And you know whose fault that is, Craig? That's your fault. That's my fault, because everyone's afraid of us that we're going to, oh, that's a terrible trade. What were you thinking? What were you doing? You know, why didn't you ask us first? Why didn't you do, how can you even do that? And you know what? So now no one wants to make a fair trade anymore. They want to win the trade. And if they don't win the trade, they don't make the trade, right? That's, oh, they don't want to make a fair trade. Either they have to be so in their favor. It takes some of the fun out of the game. I mean, listen, roll the dice a little bit. If you're in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth place, roll the dice. Have some fun. Make some trades.
All right, I'll end on Pujols here. No doubt that for me, Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, in the last 20 years, look, Barry Bonds played, Derek Jeter played. We've had a lot of Hall of Famers play. But even though the last few years of Pujols' career weren't that all that great, he goes down as the greatest hitter that we've seen in the last couple of decades. Future Hall of Famer, first ballot. Unbelievable with St. Louis, put up some of the best numbers we've ever seen in the history of the game. If indeed this is the end, congratulations, Albert Pujols, on a wonderful baseball career. Very proud to have interviewed him in person many times as well. Congrats to Albert. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to James, of course, at LTN, for Brett, Danny, and Ryan. Thanks to George Kurtz for filling in for the past few days. George, it's been a ton of fun. Appreciate it. That'll do it for the show. We'll see you tomorrow at noon here on SportsGrid. Have a great day.